Good evening, and welcome to the International Mastermind of Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bruce Guyton, and I am the president of Compto Palm Beach County. Thanks for tuning in to A Week in Transportation, brought to you by Compto Palm Beach County. Please invite your friends and family to call in to 661-554-9219 to join us for an awesome show. If you would like to speak, press 1 at any time to join the conversation. We have an exciting show lined up this evening with my co-host, Ann McNeil, who is the first vice president of Compto Palm Beach County, and Laverne Blackwood, who is the second vice president of Compto Palm Beach County. Our guest this evening is Mr. Warren Montague. And before we speak to our guest, I would like to take a moment to share with you a little bit about COMPTO. COMPTO is the acronym for the Conference of Minority Transportation Officials. This organization was founded and created in 1971 in Washington, D.C., with a specific mission to advocate and support women and minorities in transportation. Now, having said that, we're going to jump right into the show. Let's welcome our guest, Mr. Warren Montague. Warren, you there?
Yes. Good evening.
Yes, Warren. Warren, thanks for joining us. Now, Mr. Montague is the immediate past chair of the National Board of Directors for the Conference of Minority Transportation Officials. So this is an evening with leadership in transportation, and Warren certainly filled those shoes twofold. So Warren, we're going to start off by allowing you to tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, good evening. As mentioned, I am the immediate past chair of COMPTO National Board of Directors and have served on the COMPTO board since 2004, just 15 some odd years. I've been a member of COMPTO itself since 1996, where I was introduced to the organization because at that time there was a group of minorities at SEPTA, which is the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, had a chapter in that location, and they were trying to bring all of the minority employees together under the mantle of COMPTO. I first attended my first conference in 1998 in Baltimore and went there with the understanding, well, perspective of understanding what the organization about, but I was told that there were folks who looked like me who hold key positions in the industry. And it was very fortunate because while at COMPTO, I met at least 9 or 10 people who were of a minority race and were females who held what we call the C-suite positions. They were CEOs, they were COOs, CFOs, and they were the movers and shakers in the industry. And coming from my agency, I was under the impression that to run a transit agency, you had to be a white Caucasian male. So going to COMPTO, that allowed me to abolish that myth. And it gave me the incentive that even a person like myself could achieve to a higher level in transportation. At that time, I was holding the seat of director of street operations for SEPTA's paratransit services. So that was my introduction into COMPTO, my introduction into the industry. A little bit about myself. I actually started out back in the early 80s in social work. And one of my responsibilities was to provide transportation services for seniors and people in the mental health arena. And then I got hired by an agency because they were doing a pilot program for seniors in transportation to provide an aid on a paratransit vehicle for seniors to come out of their homes, down steps, or upper floors. So we were able to put that program together, and a few years later, SEPTA took over senior transportation in Philadelphia, and they needed someone who knew senior transportation. So they interviewed me and brought me on as a driver trainer and working in the control center for paratransit. Worked in that area through the early 90s, and in 96 I did get promoted to the director of street operations for paratransit. But shortly thereafter, we had to develop our own transportation paratransit service in-house, and I was dispatched out to oversee that project. And we ran that project for a year, and a year later, I was promoted to the position of director of service operations for all of SEPTA's paratransit service and ADA compliances. So that's kind of the background by which I got into transportation. And then through COMTO, I was able to meet a lot of different individuals as advisors and guides through my career. So that's kind of my background.
Mm-hmm. Warren, that was very interesting. And as indicated, we are highlighting leaders in transportation, as most employees aspire to be. They seek to be leaders in their respective fields. You've given a little bit of history of how you got into transportation. Give us a little bit of background of how you elevated to leadership.
Well, I think one of the things for me in working in the transit agency, there were a lot of opportunities. The opportunities were scarce for minorities, but I knew that where I was, it was not where I planned to stay. I've always been the kind of person that tried to look to see what avenues could I take to not only do a better job, but to improve the product by which I was representing. So ironically, some of my supervisors and managers saw that potential in me and allowed me opportunities for certain trainings. And then I started asking questions. And one of the things that I did was I looked at positions that were opening, and I used to take those job postings, and I would lay those job postings next to my resume to see what things I had and what things I didn't have when it came to meeting the criteria for upward mobility. But I also attached myself to two individuals in my agency who were minorities, because they held key positions. And one of the things that I learned early on is that you always need to seek guidance and direction and mentorship. So through the early 90s, these two gentlemen, one who was, he was the chief operating officer, AGM actually, over procurement and the business department for SEPTA. And the other gentleman was the superintendent of all of SEPTA's maintenance. He eventually became the AGM over operations. So just kind of being attached myself to them and kind of absorbed all the information that I could from them. It allowed me to guide and help me move and navigate through the system. Now, I will tell you that it wasn't always easy, because in my organization, the further you got to the top, it didn't look like folks like us. And a lot of times there were doors shut. But I was always the person that, well, if the door was shut, I wanted to know why. So I would ask the question, Char, if I posted for a position, you know, why didn't I get the interview, or, you know, why didn't I make that cut? And those were the kinds of things that I would then go back to see what I needed to do to get that particular qualification or to position myself, so that the next time it came around, I had what was needed for that particular position. But the other thing that I learned was I also started to share information that I had with other folks who looked like me, who were some of my direct reports, because by that time I was the director, and I had, you know, managers who reported to me, had supervisors. So I started to pick one or two of them out and started to share the same information that was being shared with me with them. Because one of the things that I learned, that as you start to move up, you need to start to build your own group of people that depend on, who have some interest to you, but also who needed an opportunity. And I think it was back in 2010, an opportunity came where my AGM wanted to make some moves in operations. And he came to me one day and said, look, you know, I'm going to make a move, and I need to put you in a position. Are you ready? You know, and I said, I don't think you would have came to me. You didn't think I was ready. So at that point in time, I was appointed in a position of chief operating officer for all of contracted services. And 3 months later, I proposed, had to go through the interview and post for the position, and I was awarded the position. And right off the bat, I started to also identify other talent who looked like myself, to position them for a position that I came out of and prepare themselves to take my mantle. Because one of the things I also learned is that nothing is forever. So as you start to move up, you also need to prepare yourself for your exit. And that's kind of what I did over the next 3 years prior to retiring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very interesting. Now, I'm going to kick it over to our first vice president, but you've said a couple of things that I think are paramount. One is that the rise is not easy. You're going to have some challenges, and sometimes, you know, there are going to be obstacles. You know, we sometimes think that when we look at people in high positions that somehow they were just placed there without the blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to get there. They don't know the backstory of what it took to get there. And it's important for those who are seeking leadership positions to understand that, you know, you've got to keep going even when the obstacles confront you. And the other thing that you said, that when after you reach a certain level, you start preparing for your exit. And sometimes we don't think in that mindset, but it's inevitable. You know, other opportunities come, things happen, desires change, even the boss interests change sometimes. So that those two things kind of jumped out at me, and I think that they're very critical. But I'm going to kick it over to Ms. Ann McNeil, who is a mentor of mine, and she's the first vice president of our chapter. Ann, it's on you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. And Warren, I heard you mention about passion. It might have been a passion for the youth. Can you share with us any ideas or thoughts you have surrounding youth in this organization and the possibility of upward mobility?
Well, one of the things that is paramount, and really for us as minorities, because we are where we are, we have a responsibility to give back, but also set an example. So one of the things that I've done and we've done locally in Compton, Philadelphia, but even in some of my other organizations, is spending time in the high schools and junior high schools for two reasons. One, to show them that folks who look like them can also be successful on the right side of the track. You don't always have to do the wrong thing to become successful or to be in a position of success. The other part of it is that preparing young people to look at our industry as an opportunity, because most young people don't really think of transportation as a career goal. They don't understand the many different opportunities that lie in transportation other than a bus driver, you know, or a mechanic. So one of the things we do, and I've done in the past, is we would go out to junior high schools and high schools and talk about careers in transportation, and we use a bus as an example. We had a small model bus. We take in it and break down all the different career opportunities it is in putting that bus on the street. Only one is the driver. The second is but then there's the people who designed the bus, the ones who actually put the bus together, who market the bus. We talk about the financial positions associated with the bus. We talk about, you know, so many different avenues that tie into transportation. And then you branch that out into, you know, the road that the bus drives on. So you talk about highway and the different opportunities in highway. And you start talking, when you start talking about roads, then you connect that to, you know, aviation and maritime. So you kind of expand that whole view for a young person to look at transportation as an opportunity that can be a major career goal. Now, in terms of internally in our organization, it's important to identify new talent and young talent coming into to career and attach yourself to them as an example, but also allow yourself to be a mentor to show them that they also can achieve what you achieve, but also prepare them for positions that you vacate. So there's always a candidate who looks like you prepared for the next position. Not guaranteeing them a position, but making sure they understand the work that needs to get done for them to move up in their careers and eventually assume those positions that you have. Because too often, whether it be employment or even when it comes to contracting, too many times primes will say, well, we can't find minority contractors, or we can't find minority talent. Well, it's our responsibility to prepare young people and small businesses to be positioned for those opportunities when it comes to either being employed in an organization, whether it be on the private side or the public side, or a small business for a contracting opportunity.
Wow, that's a lot. Thank you so much. And now on to Laverne.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining us. And it's been a pleasure listening to you, Mr. Montague, talk about your advancement in this industry. And, you know, I recognize you as one of the Comto National Board leaders. And so it's really good to hear your story about how you started and how you've come this far. And before I go into asking you another question, I really want to just remind our listeners who have joined us that you are tuning in to A Week in Transportation with Comto Palm Beach County. Each year in November, Conference of Minority Transportation Officials, Comto, hosts Comto Week, which is a full week when Comto chapters nationwide host activities to help bolster local chapter membership and participation and bring the transportation industry underneath the banner, just to make people be more aware of what we do and aware of the industry professionals from all modes of transportation. For Comto Week, Comto Palm Beach County hosts this dynamic show. It's called A Week in Transportation. It's a talk show where we highlight individuals, programs, organizations, and pertinent issues that impact the transportation industry. This show will air for the whole week, and we will feature five segments: women in transportation, leaders in transportation, youth in transportation, opportunities in transportation, and careers in transportation. So we invite you to stay with us all week long as we talk with individuals who will share their experiences and their information and about the industry. And just stay on with us. And if you want to join the conversation, please press 1 anytime on your phone dial, and we'll invite you in. So back to our current guest. We're talking with Mr. Warren Montague. He is the past national chair of the Comto board. And Warren, you have been the chair for, on the Comto board for about 13 years now, for the past 13 years. And I just want you to talk a little bit about how Comto helps young professionals and people who are trying to move are advanced within the industry on their way to become a leader?
Well, you know, one of the great things about COMTO, and I say this without, you know, any pun intended when it comes to other organizations, it's the one place where folks who look like us can come together and support each other. And as I made mention, back in 1998, when I first went to my first COMTO conference, I met 9 different individuals who were key players in the industry. And the great thing about that was they were open to talk to a person like me who was in a lower tier in my organization, but who did not know, but now realize that there are opportunities for folks who look like me and who was at my level to move up in the industry. So COMTO positions folks, one, when it comes to mentoring, when it comes to networking, when it comes to providing you with opportunities to find out how the industry operates. And there's a lot of people in this industry, and even till today, I have many people I can call on for advice. One of the things that was very pertinent for me in my career was when we were doing a project at SEPTA, I could call somebody around the country, and they would give me the real talk about a particular project, especially if they were doing that same project, or a particular company who was providing the service for them, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. A lot of times you call agencies, and they'll give you kind of the broad, very general scope about something. But one of the things that I found in COMTO that supported me so many times when I needed information or I needed to find out stuff about a project or a process. So COMTO provides that. You know, one of the great things we have a city internship program where we provide internships, paid internships, throughout the summer for young people. And the other good thing about that internship, the week that we have the conference, we bring those interns to the conference. They're actually able to interact with each other, but also interact with professionals throughout the industry, which is very unique because, you know, a lot of times you have young people, they're doing internships, but they don't really get to rub elbows with people who are actually providing that particular skill set. So that's one of the great things that I love about this. In addition to that, we have a major scholarship program nationally, but locally, I would tell you that COMTO, without exaggeration, probably provides close to $500,000 throughout this nation through the 30-some-odd chapters efforts when you add all of the different scholarship programs that's going on that's providing our scholarship opportunities, you know, throughout the nation when it comes to scholarships. You know, the internships that happen throughout COMTO, both locally and nationally, you know. And then the other part that is very great about COMTO, there's a lot of community projects. You know, for instance, in Philadelphia, we're working on our Thanksgiving basket drive. We're actually going out on this Saturday, and we'll be providing full Thanksgiving baskets to 100 families. But this is duplicated throughout the nation in every chapter. You know, the same thing happens around Christmas time when we had the Adopt a Family program. You know, COMTO chapters do the back-to-school backpacks and things of that nature. And, you know, career days throughout. So that's what COMTO is really all about, back into the community. We have a responsibility as what we consider to be successful in our careers to go back into those communities that support our careers and that we provide services in, and making sure that we are giving back to those young people and those needy families, but also showing them that there's folks who look like them and there is a career path if they want to do the work. One of the things I will say, it's not easy in transportation. It's hard work. You know, but if you want to do the work, there's great opportunities for you in transportation. And COMTO is that avenue by which we're able to reach back into the community, but also reach into the industry and provide opportunities. But also, as we say, level the playing field.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I receive that, and I'm really sure that, you know, these are great guidelines. I mean, we know it's one thing to be at the top, but to kind of outline some of the steps to get there, and that's what you're doing with us tonight, so we really thank you for that. I'm going to hand over to Bruce. Bruce, you're back on.
Thank you very much, Laverne. Laverne and Ann are very, very instrumental and critical in the Palm Beach County chapter, and without them, we wouldn't be where we are. And speaking of community service, Warren, as you know, Palm Beach County was fortunate enough at the last annual conference to receive the 2019 Community Service Award. And that was due to what you were just speaking of, getting out in the community. We've had programs to help foster kids. We've had programs to help people with disabilities, to help seniors, and the National recognized that this year, and we were very, very grateful that our hard work was recognized. But that was due to chapters before us had already laid the foundation and showed us how to do it, and we just took that mantle and ran with it. So, yes, that is something that the Palm Beach County chapter take a lot of pride in. And speaking of the annual conference.
Before you move, can I chime in on something there? When it comes to the chat, that's one of the other things that is so great about COMPTO. There is a friendly competition when it comes to chapters kind of doing those kinds of things, whether it be scholarship, whether it be community engagement. You know, all those kinds of things are so important when it comes to folks who look like us, making sure that we're out in the forefront in our communities, making a difference. You know, that whole each one teach one, each one reach one, that's what we have to do, and that's what we do. And that's one of the things about COMPTO that is so apropos to what we do around the nation, whether it be in the far parts of the northwest part of the country in Seattle or down there in Florida where you guys have five different chapters who is functioning, or in Texas, or as we do in Philadelphia or in Boston, you know, in Chicago, you know, that's what makes COMPTO such a awesome organization. Had to get that.
Yes, and I must say that Philadelphia still has that mantle for one of the, if not the best chapters at raising scholarship funds. So we need to reach out to you all and get some pointers, but because you all do a fantastic job on that. And we certainly admire and appreciate what you all are doing in Philly. Now, one of the things that I would like for you to touch on, Warren, if you could, is the annual conference that that COMPTO has every year, and it's bringing industry professionals, vendors, people from around the country, sometimes around the world, coming to share their expertise and talent and also their products. Could you give the people a little summary of what the annual conference is about?
Well, you know, the national conference meeting and conference is the one opportunity where you have professionals throughout the industry coming together. And the great thing about it, it's almost like a family reunion, because one of the things I can say also about COMPTO is that people move around the country, you know, sharing their talents. And if you ask any, you know, and I'm sure Anne McNeil could speak to this point, you know, where you start is not normally where you finish. And I'll use myself as an example. Most of my career I was in Philadelphia at SEPTA, but then I actually then did a management piece with a private agency in Detroit where we had the right side of their transportation system. And then left there and went to Atlanta. you know, where we did a startup project. And most folks in transportation ends up, you know, doing that. So what happens at the national conference, you have all of these experiences coming together, where it'd be prime organizations, transportation organizations, government agencies coming together to share information, to collaborate on policy and procedures and topics. And the other part of it is the training piece for not only incoming in professionals, but middle professionals. And then we have something also that is unique. We have what is called a CEO Summit. And that's an opportunity for the top leaders to come together in their own private setting and talk about challenges and share and mentor each other, because you have – some CEOs who are brand new, they may have recently gotten their jobs, you know, or 2 years or 3 years in, and they're talking with folks who've been CEOs, you know, for 5, 10, or 15, or 20 years, you know, so that happens at every level. But then that same group is there, and they're there to share with anyone who's willing to listen, and we have these workshops and forums throughout the conference, where you can meet with these individuals and talk with these individuals. But then there's also the other side of it when it comes to business, where you have a lot of the prime organizations are looking for talent. So that opportunity is there for you also. And then obviously there's time to see people you haven't seen, you know, for a long time. That's the other thing about Compto. The folks who started this organization, you know, back in the early 70s and in the 80s, they're still there. They're still around to mentor. They're still open to share. And that's one of the things that I love about Compto that I haven't seen in a lot of other organizations. Because most professional organizations, you know, you're there, you go there to the national meeting, you may do the workshop or whatever, you go to the vending area or whatever, and then you're on your own. Compto keeps you engaged from using 7 o'clock in the morning to 11, 12 o'clock at night with activity. Even the social activities are built around networking.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's no exaggeration, yes. It's always a full day of productive activities and training. And it's culminated with social hours where you can network and mingle with your colleagues. And it's been a very enlightening and growing experience for me, and I enjoy it every time I do. As a matter of fact, that's how I was introduced to Compto. My boss, Clinton Forbes, wanted to start a chapter in Palm Beach County, and he invited me to go to the annual conference out in Dallas. That was my first one. Mm-hmm. And from there, the rest is history. I've been hooked ever since. So, Warren, you have the type of wisdom and knowledge that could carry on dialogue endlessly. But we're going to have to start wrapping it up now. I'm going to kick it over to Ann McNeil, our first vice president, to say some closing remarks, after which Laverne would say some as well.
Listen, I think that we just tapped the tip of the iceberg in this conversation. And Warren, we're going to have you come back. And because you already know that the wisdom, and Bruce hit the nail on the head, because the wisdom that you have, and to have it at all levels, there's so many young people, and as I was listening to you talking, not just young people, but there are some middle-aged people who are in transit and in transportation that are still looking forward to upward mobility. And it's possible, because one of the things we did not talk about, and we'll talk about this on another show, is the fact that, you know, the degrees, you're not, it's not mandatory that you come into transportation with all of these degrees. I mean, it's one of the very few places where you can rise to the level of your own expectations with certifications in certain areas.
Correct.
So,
correct.
So, right. And so, again, I think we're going to really need to have you come back. We will be sharing this show around the world. Phenomenal information. I think it is important, though, as we prepare to close, if you can share with our audience, in the event that there may be individuals who may be listening in the future that would like to reach you, how can they contact you? What would be the best way? I know you're retired and all of that, but, you know, there's always business and life after retirement.
Well, yeah, because I still do some independent consulting, you know, and I can always be reached by my email, which is montaguewarren4@gmail.com. But also, I would be remiss if I did not give a shout out to your CEO, Clinton Forbes. I've known Clinton from his days back in Miami-Dade, and then he transitioned over to Jacksonville. He went out to CODA and started a chapter there, and then obviously, you know, ended up there with you guys and did the same thing there. And I'm saying that to say because he's one of those guys that, you know, Compton is in his heart. He takes it with him, and he's planted the seed everywhere he's gone. And that's what we have to do. So, you know, I appreciate you all allowing me to have an opportunity to hang out with you all this evening and share some of my experience. You know, and I would be more than happy to, you know, come back again if that would be your wish or whatever to, you know, to continue this dialogue or whatever you need me to do. I love Compto. I love transportation. You know, it's been the catalyst that has made my career. You know, I would have never thought that I would land in transportation. My degree is in criminal justice. Never worked in that field a day in my life, but I have 33 years in transportation. So, you know, so be it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Laverne, would you give some closing remarks, please?
Certainly. Thank you so much. That was very enlightening for me, and I'm sure for many of us listening and who will be listening in the future. I certainly want to have you back. Maybe when we talk about opportunities in transportation on Thursday or careers in transportation, I think those are great areas for you to help, you know, just provide perspective and help those who are ready to advance beyond a career in transportation or going to consult, you know, consulting or transitioning into the field. So I definitely would love to hear more about what your thoughts are in those areas. So thank you again on behalf of Compto Palm Beach County. I just want to say thank you for joining us, Mr. Warren Montague. And everyone, I just invite you to call in all week long, be a part of our show. We are here until Friday just talking to individuals from all areas of the transportation industry. Invite your friends and your family to call 661-554-9219 weekday evenings at 6 p.m. Compto Week, Palm Beach County's Week in Transportation Show. Thank you. Bruce, back to you.
Thank you, Laverne. And Warren, on behalf of the Palm Beach County chapter, we are very grateful to be a part of the Compto family. We're in a state, as you indicated, that has five chapters. And so not only is there friendly competition nationwide, but we have friendly competition internally here in Florida as well. And the chapters here, and they put it down. So, you know, Palm Beach County has, but it's been a benefit as well because those chapters have had their struggles and they've come up and they've been willing to share with us some of those struggles and how to avoid them. And so, and we've actually benefited from them, and I consult with the presidents a lot. So, Compto is now, as you know, Warren, and I'll end on this note, collaborate with other modes of transportation. The CEO of Revolution reached out to the South Florida chapters apparently the national conference for them is going to be in Miami in 2020, and they want to collaborate with COMPTO and the South Florida chapters to establish a better rapport and working relationship, as well as assist them in promoting their national conference for next year. So the different modes coming together, COMPTO is one of those organizations that is recognized and respected, and they are reaching out to form the collaboration so that, you know, each of our respective modes, and as you know, our COMPTO represents all of the modes, and we are fortunate to have that in our chapter, in our national organization. So, Warren, would you like to say some closing words before we close it out here?
Well, again, I thank you all for the opportunity, and I think anyone who's listening, I think you should really consider exploring the opportunities that are available in transportation, but just especially making sure that you are a member of COMPTO. COMPTO is the place to be. Thank you.
Okay. That is the end of our show for tonight, and we will be back here tomorrow at 6 p.m., so do join us tomorrow. Until then, have a good night. Bye-bye.